Very interesting text, especially during this season of Advent as we're preparing to celebrate Christmas. I don't know if you've ever attended a performance on Broadway or possibly even here at the Patchogue Theater where a character appears at the beginning of a play. The story unfolds. This individual plays a very important part in setting up the plot, and then gradually disappears from the stage. And I believe that's what happens with Joseph. As we read the accounts of his life contained in the Gospels, here he is playing a very bold, important role in the preparation of the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, through Jesus, the Christ child. And yet, we know very little about him as the story unfolds and the Gospels begin to talk about the life, the ministry of Jesus. Joseph sort of just leaves the stage. And we hear about Mary and we hear about other important players in that story. But I want to tell you this morning, I want to focus a little bit on this very important person, Joseph. And I believe as we explore his life, we will begin to sing hallelujah because of the example that he sets for us. And I'll get to him in a moment, but I can tell you lately, with all the craziness of shopping and the stress, that sometimes this wonderful celebration should not bring but brings, I'm hearing more humbugs than hallelujahs. People are telling me they're stressed out, they're tired. In fact, I think it was yesterday on CNN, there was a special report on how to deal with migraine headaches during this season. And I thought to myself, joy to the world. What's going on? Stresses, pressures, frustrations, and everything that is involved in the craziness of this season. We get these migraine headaches. But I'll be honest, in spite of all of some of these negative reports I'm hearing, I have witnessed a lot of joy during this season of Advent as well. And I'm sure you have. Just hearing some of the songs that were sung this morning, that the choir sang, you know that this is a special season. And it does lighten up the heart. I believe it lightens the load as well as we go through life. Yeah, woohoo is right. The good news is that there is good news that people who have that humbug feeling that there can be a transformation into a hallelujah chorus. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, I saw this Peanuts cartoon the other day, and Lucy walks up to Snoopy and she says, "There's times when you really bug me, and then there's other times I want to hug you." To which Snoopy replies, "That's me, both buggable and huggable." And I thought some of our relatives are like that, right? They're both not my niece and nephew here, though. They're always huggable. Never have a problem with my niece and nephew. But that's the situation sometimes we find ourselves in during this holiday season when we must connect or should connect with family. I had somebody the other day, and I won't tell you who it is. In fact, I won't even admit that he's a member of our church, though he is. He said to me, "I love the holidays," he says, "but when it comes time to go to my in-laws, I'd rather have root canal." I think he was kidding. But you know what? I was thinking as that statement was made, how fortunate we are. There are so many people that have nobody for Christmas. Alone. Could be somebody in a nursing home. It could be some of the folks that we love to see on Tuesday mornings who come for food. They'll find themselves on Christmas Day alone, though there'll be a wonderful Christmas meal served here for them, just so that they won't be alone. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there are so many people that will be alone on Christmas Day, and I was thinking, in spite of how unfortunate or fortunate it may be with some of our relatives, our in-laws, our outlaws, thank God that we have them. Christmas should be a reminder to us that interpersonal relationships are far more important than accomplishments and accumulation of things. Relationships. No doubt that sometime during this year, Christmas season, we might feel like we want to throw up our arms and say, leave me alone, I'm going to sleep, and don't wake me up until the 26th. I don't know how many of you, I sleep through New Year's Eve. I used to stay up, I guess when I was younger. Now I go to bed and I sleep right into the new year. But we don't want to just say, leave me alone, I'm going to sleep, don't wake me up until the 26th, because we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It should be something that we should be so joyous about. We need to change our focus to prevent that from happening. And so our text this morning that Joan so wonderfully read, and I might add, Joan wasn't assigned to read this morning, and she came out of the bullpen for me, and I appreciate that. She read it so well. I guess it's because you're a college professor. You do that a lot, don't you? Yes. But it was about Joseph's life. When we read this account from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And one of the things that I noticed, not just one thing, because I'm going to talk about a couple of things about Joseph's life that I think we should mirror and try to emulate, is that he was a selfless man. Now, if you read verse 19, I'd like to read it for you. It says, because Joseph, Mary's husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Now, let me tell you, it was a miracle. You agree on that? Gynecologically, it was impossible. All right? Your fiance that you're engaged to marry comes to you and says, I'm pregnant, but I didn't know any man. How do you think Joseph felt? Yeah, it was tough. But he says, listen, I could have her stoned to death in the village of Nazareth for adultery. This can happen. I choose not to do that. And he says, what I will do is I will divorce her quietly. And you know what I believe? Joseph was the kind of guy that I would like to hang out with. Joseph is the kind of guy that you would want as a close friend, a best friend, because of his character. Think about that. You know, I believe in our life we have lots of acquaintances, right? I mean, people that we work with marginally know. Even some of our neighbors we don't even know, who live on the block we live on. And maybe we see them going out for the mail, and that's about it. But there are lots of acquaintances in our lives. But there's something very special about a close friend or a family member that money could never buy. And that's why I believe it's so important for Christmas to not only remind us of the real reason of the season, and that is the coming of the Messiah and that he will come again, but also a time to remind us of our real blessings, blessings that are discovered in valued relationships. That's what really I'm talking about this morning, our relationship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but also our relationships with one another. And when I see the sign of the cross, I think of our relationship vertically and horizontally, relationship with God and relationships with each other, and why they are so very important. This book in my devotion, this week in my devotions, I was reading a very narrow book written by Paul, the book of Philemon. It was his letter to his friend Philemon. I want to read just a little excerpt from that because I found it so encouraging because I knew I was preparing to preach a message on relationships, especially during this season of Christmas. This is what he writes to his friend Philemon. I always thank God when I'm praying for you, dear Philemon. Because I keep hearing of all your love and trust in the Lord Jesus and his people, and I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives as well, as they see the wealth of good things in you that come from Jesus Christ. I myself, Paul, have gained much joy and comfort from your love, my brother. Wow. Imagine Paul writing that to somebody. Because your kindness has so often refreshed my heart and the hearts of others. In those brief words, one could easily see that Philemon was a valued and cherished friend of the Apostle Paul. Philemon was a breath of fresh air to Paul and everybody around him. And I guess my question for you and for me this morning, are you a breath of fresh air when people are around you? Or is it stale? Think about that. You see, people like Joseph and Philemon, who had the characteristic of selflessness, people want to be around individuals like that. I know I do. I prefer being around people like that. I can tell you that people don't like to be around constant complainers. Do you know of any complainers?
No.
People don't like being around sourpusses. Do you know any sourpusses?
Only when I look in the mirror.
Yeah. Amen. That was good, Bob, because we must self-reflect. Because sometimes the complainer and the sourpuss may very well be us. But I could tell you that people generally don't like being around that type of a personality. And so Christmas is a time to reconnect with others and to not break off communication, but encourage communication. You know, a former member of my wife and I from New Fairfield, Connecticut, she grew up in Sayville. Honey, I'm talking about Pat, and I see a lot of her messages and her husband's messages on Facebook, and that's one of the things I like about Facebook is that I stay connected with friends. And she recently lost her dad last month. He had passed away, and she said on Facebook that I was always Daddy's little girl. Even though she's in her late 50s, she was always Daddy's little girl. And she's really struggling over this loss because she doesn't know how she's going to get through this Christmas without her dad. And she wrote this in her Facebook message, "What I wouldn't do to have my dad back for Christmas." Think about that. I believe her expression resonates with a lot of us this morning. It does for me and my nephew and niece. My wife would appreciate this. Today is my mother's birthday. And I wish I was able to go to her physically today and say, "Happy birthday, Mom." So there's some of us here today. Yes, it's a joyous season. Yes, we celebrate. Yes, we're going to have a great time. But we also realize that some of us are missing a person around that table. And it's hard. And Daddy's little girl misses her father greatly. That's why it's so important to connect while we still have time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so every day needs to be cherished. I know for myself, I have fallen short. I confess that to you from this pulpit in staying connected to people at times. I've done this. Why? Oh, I come up with excuses. I'm too busy. I failed to prioritize my life, pettiness. And I want to just tell you that Christmas is a reminder and it's a time we should lay all those excuses aside and say, you know what? Put all that stuff aside. No more excuses. We must reconnect with people. Maybe there's someone in your life this morning, friends, that you need to personally call or personally contact or write a letter to or email or send a card or embrace or bury the hatchet, for crying out loud. Bury the hatchet. Because you see, important relationships cannot be purchased at the outlets, the mall, or Costco. They're developed. They're developed because they're important and they should be important. Great gifts may be considered valuable and may bring a period of happiness. You know, I love the smell of a new car, the interior, right? I wish somebody would invent a spray that I could keep it in the car. But, you know, we're so careful with that new car. We park it a gazillion miles away from anybody else. And in about a year, we put the door wherever we want. We don't care who parks next to us. It loses its value. But not like a valued relationship. It doesn't lose its value. You remember from my sermon last week that if money could buy happiness, Ebenezer Scrooge would have been a very happy man. But he wasn't. Because all of his money and his investments and his accumulation of stuff in that safe of his meant absolutely nothing because he was miserable. Now back to Joseph. Not only was he selfless, Joseph, he had the characteristic of sacrificial love. Sacrificing. Being able to give and not just receive all the time. Being able to say, I might not get my way this time, but if it makes that other person happy, I'm willing to sacrifice. And he certainly was a man of that. The value of relationships is at the heart of the story of that very first Christmas that we're exploring this morning. Joseph chose love for the Lord and love for Mary rather than the convenience of just divorcing his wife and moving on. He chose not to do that. I truly admire Joseph's sacrificial love for Mary, and I also admire his courage and his convictions and his commitment. Realizing he could have been embarrassed, he was willing to endure embarrassment and questions and accusations because of his love and his relationship with God and his love and relationship with Mary. Think about it. Now, let me tell you something about Mary and Joseph that I think you already know. They were poor people. They were living below the poverty level in their day and age. And how do we know that? Because if you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 22, they could not even afford to buy an animal for sacrifice at the temple. If you read that chapter, Mary had to go for a purification rite after giving birth to the child. All they could afford was two turtle doves, which was the sign of poor people. That's all they could buy, is a couple of doves. And yet, if you look at their lives, they were away from home, from Nazareth. There was no place to rest their head. She gave birth to her child in a cave, a stable, in a manger. And shortly after the birth, they became refugees in a foreign land, Egypt, that they had to flee to because of Herod. And yet I would venture to say that Mary and Joseph were as happy and content as the Cratchits. Remember the Cratchits from A Christmas Carol? They were poor, and yet they loved each other, and there was joy and warmth and peace and relationship in that home. Even though they had very little, they were happy. And I think we could say the same for Mary and Joseph. They didn't have much, but they had the peace and the joy that God gave them. The first family understood the value of true riches. And true riches are not found in investments in stocks and bonds and property and all this other stuff that the world considers to be important. They were invested in their relationship with each other and their family. And Christmas, I believe, reminds us of why relationships are so important. If you don't think relationships are important, why don't you interview a soldier in a foxhole in Afghanistan today who's on the front line of combat and ask a soldier, ask him or her what family means to them. And I guarantee you their response will be everything. You know, when you're separated, sometimes separation causes the heart to grow fonder. And I believe that's true when you're serving in the military. And so the writer of Proverbs, who understood this treasure of love and relationship, He compares it with fleeting values of riches of this world. And mind you, Solomon was the richest man in the world. And listen to what he writes in Proverbs 17:1. He says, better a dry crust. Now, I want you to visualize this for a moment. How many don't like pizza crust? You only eat the soft part. Let me see your hands. Okay, there's three of us that like that soft part. But sometimes the crust is left in the box, or it's hard to chew, and it's crusty, especially when it gets old and it could be moldy. I don't know. But listen, but visualize a piece of crust that nobody wants to eat. And he says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And you know what came to mind? Hollywood. Celebrities, money, fame, talent, influence, everything you could dream of, but they just keep going through one relationship after the other because they're not grounded in what's important. And that's what the Proverbs writer says. And later on in chapter 11, verse 24, he says, one man gives freely, and yet he gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And I think that was Scrooge before he had his conversion. I spoke about it last week. It led to poverty, not necessarily in wealth and finances, influence and property, but he was a miserable person, even though he had all that money. And so when we give freely, and I'm not just talking about finances, when we give of our love and care and concern of other people, we get rich when we invest in other people's lives. We store up treasures that last by giving ourselves to others. I believe that's what this text says to me. True riches are not found in the accumulation of things, but in the extravagant investment of love for other people. Because you know it always comes back. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he describes the practice of love that we should be practicing every day of our lives. And what does he say? He says, love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. And listen to this one. This is the relationship breaker. It keeps no record of wrongs. You ever been around somebody? Well, I don't talk to her because back in 1967... 67? Yes, she embarrassed me in front of my mother. And we haven't talked since. There's a Greek word for that. Oy vey. Well, I haven't talked to him in a while because they keep this record of wrongs. And it just causes the relationship to be broken. And Paul says, don't keep a record of wrongs. Get over it, forgive, move on. He says, because if you do that, love will never fail. And so this Advent season of preparation, hope, and anticipation, this season of Christmas that we're embarked on, may make the commitment to value and care for those God brings into your life and my life. Take a look at an inventory, how we use our time. Are we using it wisely? Are there any relationships that we're neglecting that we need to reconsider and reconnect to? Ask God to help us make adequate investment in lives of people who could do nothing for you in return. That's what I love about the Wesley dinners, is that there's really nothing those folks could do in return other than show their love and appreciation. And man, that's worth $1 million. So as parents, we need to ask the Lord to fill our hearts with his love so that it overflows to our children. As children, we need to ask the same so our love would overflow to our parents and give them the honor that they deserve. As a husband and wife, we need to ask Jesus to immerse us in his unconditional love so that we can show unconditional love to our husband or wife, even though our spouse may aggravate us at times. Amen? Yeah. Did everybody get that? It's on. It's recorded. Bob's wife is an angel. And as a believer in Christ, we need to ask our precious Lord to show us how to love others as he loves us. You see, Christmas is really about people. It's not about tinsel or Frosty the Snowman or running around to the outlets in the malls. Christmas is about the coming of our Savior who wants to partner up with us in blessing others. Christmas and Jesus' unselfish example calls for us to do something for somebody, even today. Joseph gives us the example we need. He demonstrated selflessness in his relationship. He demonstrated sacrificial love by keeping his wife in spite of what didn't make any sense to him at all. And he was obedient to God. Joseph did exactly what God commanded him to do. He married Mary, and he did not have intimate relationships until after the birth of Jesus. He prayed the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will be done, God, but your will. You know, that's a great prayer as you get up in the morning. Lord, not my will, but your will. You know what my prayer is every morning? I don't always pay heed to it. I pray every morning, Lord, help me to be out of control today. Isn't that a weird prayer? But what I really mean is that I would be out of control and that he would be in control of my life. So when we are open and obedient to God's will in our lives like that, it's much easier to embrace the character of Joseph and Christ for that matter. And so this Advent season, I just say our prayer should be, Lord, take my life and let it be fully consecrated, Lord, to thee. My prayer for us this Advent season is that our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will guide us and use us to have a positive influence in our families, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our church, and with anybody who comes our way. That we would be that breath of fresh air that Philemon was for the Apostle Paul. Advent indeed is about relationships, friends. It's not about running around like chickens with our heads cut off and running out of energy. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning for each of us that as we consider the life of Jesus and the life of Mary and the life of Joseph, where relationship was so important that we would think about it for our own lives, to slow the jets down, to clear the calendar once in a while, to set some priorities, to give some time to investing in relationships with people we value and even people we don't know. Lord, use us as that vessel, so that we can indeed be like Philemon, a breath of fresh air in the midst of so much pain and sadness and division and anger and brokenness in this world. Make us an agent of reconciliation and reconnection. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.